This week, we explore the topic of truth, more aptly, that divine attribute and the foundation of every virtue, the truth that's taught about in our ritual. How far does it go? Does it supersede the secrets of the Masonic fraternity? Can mankind truly be good and true in the way that we operate in the 21st century? All this and more. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
Welcome back. This is episode number 604. I want to thank our contributors, fellows, producers, and legacy partners for making this show possible. If you're curious on how you can help the WCY podcast bring weekly Masonic education to anyone interested in Freemasonry and its kindred sciences, then head on over to WCYpodcast.com and click on Support the Show. Check out the various options. You've also got a shop, a bookstore through Amazon affiliate links, as well as a bunch of other stuff to explore in the more category. The presentation's coming up. We've got a few things happening this month, notably the John Skeen Masonic Conference happening on Saturday, August 19th. It's going to be a great day filled with all kinds of great things. And one of the coolest things about it is that they've locked in Robert L. D. Cooper, curator emeritus at the Grand Lodge of Scotland Museum and Library, who will be the keynote speaker. And I will be speaking at the festive board that evening, speaking about colonialism and Freemasonry. They will have a digital option to attend as well, and more information can be found out by contacting john.skeen.masonic.conference@gmail.com, or you can call 856-291-0647 for more information. This week on the show, I wanted to read a paper that was published a little while back, and it's called The Policy of Truth. And it's by my good friend and brother, Darren A. Laners. It is an absolutely wonderful article, so let's go ahead and dive in right now. The Policy of Truth, by Midnight Freemason contributor, Worshipful Brother Darren A. Laners. Policy of Truth is the third single off Depeche Mode's seminal album, Violator. It was released on May 7th, 1990. It reached number 15 on Billboard's U.S. Hot 100 and number 1 on the U.S. Alternative Airplay charts. The song is about living with the consequences of being untruthful. The song begins with the below lyrics. You had something to hide. Should have hidden it, shouldn't you? Now you're not satisfied with what you're being put through. It's just time to pay the price for not listening to advice and deciding in your youth on the policy of truth. In our first degree, we are taught that the tenets of a Mason's profession are brotherly love, relief, and truth. Furthermore, that truth is a divine attribute and the foundation of every virtue. To be good and true is the first lesson we are taught in Masonry. On this theme, we contemplate and by its dictates endeavor to regulate our conduct. Hence, while influenced by this principle, hypocrisy and deceit are unknown among us. Sincerity and plain dealing distinguish us, and the heart and tongue join in promoting each other's welfare and rejoicing in each other's prosperity. If truth is so important to us as a fraternity, then why are we sworn to secrecy when it comes to not revealing our secrets? Each degree obligation that we take has some part within it where we swear to always hail, ever conceal, and never reveal any of the secret arts, parts, or points of the hidden mysteries of Freemasonry. In most jurisdictions, these secrets are our modes of recognition. However, can we as Masons be good and true after swearing to never reveal things from our ritual? Does our obligation supersede our first lesson? From a very pragmatic point of view, assuming our ritual was heavily influenced by or directly borrowed by the rituals being practiced in the operative guilds from which modern Freemasonry sprung, then the idea of secrecy becomes clear. During the Middle Ages, while our operative brethren were building the castles and cathedrals throughout Europe, someone impersonating a Mason could potentially, armed with the knowledge of the modes of recognition, infiltrate a worksite This person is called a Cowan, would usually be a stonemason who had not served an apprenticeship. It is possible that others who were completely unfamiliar with stonemasonry could attempt to infiltrate the work sites as well. However, I think that their lack of knowledge would quickly show them to be imposters. A Cowan, however, would be harder to spot because they would be able to perform work and thereby be entitled to wages. So it was imperative for our operative brethren to ensure that their livelihood was protected from these individuals, and they would be a direct threat to their income. Up until the dawn of the internet, there were various exposés which would be written where our secrets were revealed, and we, as a fraternity, have suffered from the most famous, which was the Morgan Affair. We suffered not from William Morgan exposing our secrets, but from the reaction to the mysterious disappearance of Morgan after he had threatened to do so. While many believe that the Morgan Affair was the catalyst for anti-Masonic rhetoric in the United States, Dr. Thomas S. Roy noted in his work Stalwart Builders, A History of the Grand Lodge of Masons in Massachusetts, 1733 to 1970, that there was already a tremendous belief in conspiracy theories regarding Freemasonry. He noted that in 1820s, there was a belief that, quote, every untoward event that disrupted mankind was blamed upon Freemasonry. It was secret, and therefore men, said, must be conspiring against society. The Masons were considered responsible for the French Revolution and its terrors. They were supposed to be in collaboration with a society known as the Illuminati, which was accused of being conspiratorial in its designs, end quote. Isn't it interesting that almost 200 years after the Morgan Affair that the above is still perpetuated by those who believe that Freemasonry is some nefarious organization? Many grand lodges will tell you that the best way to combat conspiracy theories is to be as public as possible, holding open houses and being involved in your community. While I do not disagree with such, I think we must understand why we have secrecy. Since the only real value that having our secrets is that it is an exercise in trust, we swear secrecy to not reveal the things which are used to identify us, in the dark as well as in the light. And we feel that we can trust a stranger because they have taken the same obligations as we have. In most cases, in my own experience, this is an absolute truth. Unfortunately, there are some cases where men will pretend to be a Freemason and use this for their own material gain by scamming brethren out of money for promises of goods, most often on social media. Can Freemasonry be good and true when it purposely hides things from the rest of the population? Let's be honest, the things that we hide can easily be found on the internet. The thing that makes us Freemasons is not our secrets, but rather our shared initiatic experience. It is an idea that every other Freemason that we have met has undergone the same experiences and the degrees that you have gone under in yours. Those that feel that these experiences are transformative and spiritual are those that I have found affinity with. Those that decide that Freemasonry begins and ends with a gavel are those that I feel are better served by demitting themselves from our fraternity. Those that memorize the ritual but don't think about the words and what they mean, and who don't try to apply our lessons into their own lives, those are those that I pity. How can you memorize something but not practice it? Is not being good and true being someone that not only knows our ritual but tries to exemplify it in their daily lives? Yet I can go on social media and see brethren that fit the above category. Raise your hand if you've seen a brother post something ignorant on social media about those women who want to be Freemasons, who dare to practice something that has value for all of humanity, to practice something that is as beneficial for a woman as it is for a man. I'm counting and I see a lot of hands raised. Raise your hand again if you have seen a social media discussion regarding the subject of homosexual men being Masons, or the idea of a transgender man becoming a Freemason, and the reactions are viler and, quite frankly, sometimes bordering on un-Masonic behavior. I believe that when we do not act according to Masonic values, when we do not treat those that are not Freemasons with brotherly love, or what I would call empathy, is when we are not following the policy of truth. When we do not practice empathy, when we decide to hate others on the basis of their skin color, sexuality, or gender, we are not being good and true. It is my belief that the Grand Architect has a design on the trestle board for everyone. My design is different than yours, and at the end of the day, we are, regardless of our skin color, sexuality, or gender, still of the same stock. We are all human. Each of us have these inalienable rights as defined by the Declaration of Independence, as life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, but most importantly, that all men are born equal. Do you think that the authors of the Declaration of Independence meant that only men are equal? That women are inferior? I do not believe this for a moment. I believe that it means all of mankind. Freemasonry has for over 300 years, for better or worse, been promoting the belief that all men are equal in the eyes of God, that we are all on the level, that we have more in common than that which divides us, that we can operate in a lodge, govern ourselves, and sit in harmony with each other without regard to color, religion, political affiliation, and sexuality. If you are unable to believe this, then I ask you to look at yourself in the mirror and ask yourself if you are following a policy of truth. If you are a Freemason who is incapable of empathy, if you are incapable of acting upon the square with others who have a different color of skin, sexuality, or gender identity than we have, then do us a favor and demit. We don't want you, and we certainly don't need you. You are the real Cowan. Freemasonry is, at its essence, the practice of the golden rule. Treating others as we ourselves want to be treated is the core of being empathetic. There are people that want to impose their will, their beliefs, and morality upon others, and we as Freemasons need to understand that we will be in their crosshairs and continue to be in their crosshairs because we are a threat to them. It is the same reason as to why Freemasonry was targeted by the Nazis and fascists, because Freemasonry is antithetical to the beliefs of these regimes. There are those who are going to champion human rights, and those who do are a threat to those who do not want all humans to have rights. Those who do not want all humans to have rights are going to do whatever they can to prevent them from having them. Rights, that is. Freemasonry is and has always been on the side of truth. We can either choose to follow the policy of truth that our ritual lays out for us and live it, or we can choose not to. For those that choose not to, I only ask this. If we are first made a Freemason in our hearts, then is it possible for one that does not have a heart to be a Freemason? Darren A. Laners. There's a lot to chew on there. A policy of truth. In this piece, he weaves back and forth between historical origins of Masonry and where we are today on the internet, being loud, obnoxious, rude, perpetuating false narratives, aligning ourselves with organizations, groups, and others that make policies that limit the freedoms all people enjoy. Can we be good and true? We can try. Much like we might have a reaction to some sort of anti-discrimination law that comes into effect, and people might say, it's about time. And the truth is, that's not an excuse or anything even to say about. These singular truths were just as evident through all time. And I'm sure that there will be a point in the future, many, many hundreds of years, when men and women look back on whatever group that were popular in the day. For this, let's say it's Freemasonry, and they'll say something like, a lot of those guys had lip service, and a good deal of them were good and true. I believe in Freemasonry, and I believe that Freemasonry should always take the side that fights for the minorities, because it is good and true. Every man, woman, and child has a right to call on your kind offices as a Freemason. Yes, more especially to those of the House of the Faithful or other Masons. But we as Masons are indeed supposed to be the ones who are beyond reproach in all areas of life. And let us always remember that while Masonry is not religious, and while Masonry is not political, there are things that are within our rituals that touch on religious ideas, and that's okay. And you know what else? They also touch on other ideas, which have become, in the 21st century, politicized. But that does not make them political. Human rights are not politics. And Masonry has always stood for these things. Those same people who say 1776 when arguing about something in regard to hostile takeovers of government or other strange, laughable scenarios should all be reminded that that 1776 moment happened because of the treatment of human beings. I hope you all have some thoughts on this, whether you agree with me or not. Happy to answer any comments or questions you might have, whether that's on the Facebook feed or within the Craftsman Plus Facebook group, which is open to the financial supporters of the WCY podcast, or even over on YouTube. I try to get over there all the time and check out all the comments on the videos, so I do appreciate those. But that's it for this week. We'll talk to you all next week, and the episode will be out on time, I promise. So until then, stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson. Take care.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.
WCY Media.
That's it. Okay, you're up.